For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Call it the soft launch to the end of an era. You don't start working out your starting third baseman at shortstop unless you have major questions about your starting shortstop. I think this is the first time the Yankees are actually preparing for life beyond Anthony Volpe. What's up? This is EJ Stewart, EJ at the dark during a weekday. How about that? It's Thursday morning. Thank you guys for rocking with me. I'll be with you for the next 5 hours. We got a ton to talk about, including I'll tell you why Jalen Brunson has only one way he can guarantee he gets that supermax extension from the Knicks. The one NBA star that has become the Aaron Rodgers of his sport, and the one quarterback I do not want in the Jets uniform. Number to call in, 888-808-1019. Let's get it. The Yankees have a shortstop. At least that's what we've been told for not even just the last year, but for the last 3 years where Anthony Volpe has occupied that position. Anthony Volpe is supposed to be the Yankees' present and future at shortstop. And it did not matter how helpless he looked at the plate, how shaky he was with the glove, or how much he struggled with throwing the ball from short. The Yankees told you they had a quote-unquote gold glove shortstop that they were excited about building their future around moving forward. So why is their third baseman going to be taking reps at short this spring? It seems odd to me. Aaron Boone is telling the media, well, Ryan McMahon, we're going to put him at shortstop for some games, even though he's played essentially no meaningful shortstop in the major leagues. But we're doing this as a quote-unquote backup option at the position. But the Yankees have backup shortstops. In fact, they don't just have like a little or few backup shortstops. They actually have a ton of options for backups. Jose Caballero, who's going to start the season at shortstop, could also become Anthony Volpe's backup. Oswaldo Cabrera can be Anthony Volpe's backup. Paul DeJong can be Anthony Volpe's backup. Amay Rosario, who backs up Ryan McMahon at third and is the right-hand platoon at third, he also can play shortstop and back up Anthony Volpe. If there's one thing the Yankees don't have a shortage of options are, is at shortstop. So what is going on here? In what scenario does it make sense for Ryan McMahon, a third baseman by trade, who has played primarily third base for his entire career, to move over to play shortstop, barring some catastrophic emergency situation within an actual baseball game? A situation you can't prepare for that is just thrown into the wind. Someone gets hurt, a couple guys are banged up, guy gets ejected all of a sudden, you don't have any shortstops, so you got to put McMahon there. What other scenario would that be something you actually have to work at? The fact that he's actually have to play games in spring training to figure out if this is something that's going to be viable for them. Well, if you're the kind of team, like the New York Yankees, where you know you have a championship window that, with Aaron Judge in his prime, is not infinite. In fact, that clock seems to be kind of tick, 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 tick going down, if you ask me, in terms of Aaron Judge entering the later stage, I feel like, of the prime of his career. You got to explore any and all options to maximize the strength of that lineup, especially against right-handed pitching. And Anthony Volpe is coming back from a shoulder surgery, torn labrum, very difficult injury, something I've had, so I know how difficult it can be. So there's an opportunity that Anthony Volpe may come back and he doesn't find his groove. And if that is the case, you're a Yankee team where the goal is World Series or bust, and the chase for 28 is the one and only thing that matters, You're going to have to get creative to figure out how to maximize the lineup in a scenario where Anthony Volpe comes back and he's not ready to play. And you start to come to the determination that, you know what, he may not be the future answer moving forward for the Yankees at shortstop. 888-808-1019. Everything has to be on the table, including upgrading at shortstop or third base at the trade deadline. And to me, with the Yankees looking at Ryan McMahon potentially playing that spot, that's you saying to yourself, hey, I got to make sure I use all potential in-house options, even ones that are being penciled at third base, to see if they could be viable potentially at shortstop. Because again, if a top-notch third baseman or an upgrade at third base becomes available and you still want Ryan McMahon to be a part of this team and you feel like he's a better option at Volpe than Volpe at shortstop, I think the Yankees are 100% considering keeping Ryan McMahon potentially as their future shortstop and then moving on from Volpe completely. That, I believe, is something that is on the table at this point in time. Either way, the move of allowing McMahon to get actual real reps in spring training at shortstop should be a blaring red alarm wake-up call to Anthony Volpe, who was once deemed the Yankees' chosen one, who was once deemed the heir apparent to Derek Jeter. But I think it's pretty clear, as to quote Cam Newton, the Yankees have showed Anthony Volpe, we ain't going to keep being patient with you. Anthony Volpe said this week he expects to come back in April and be ready to go. If I'm Anthony Volpe, I am not stepping on a baseball diamond and putting on those pinstripes until I am 100% healthy. Because I think as soon as he puts on those pinstripes, the evaluation of Anthony Volpe's future with the Yankees begins immediately. This is not going to be we're going to let him feel it out and we're going to let him test out the shoulder and we're going to see, he's hitting 190 in the first 2 months. Well, okay, let's just, figure this out. Oh, he's still throwing a ball. He's still dirting balls to the first base. Well, he's just working out the shoulder. They're not going to be doing that this year. I think they gave him a year where they tried to cover for his injury, and I think they wanted to try to not kill his confidence. I think the fact that you're putting your damn third baseman and saying he needs to play some shortstop tells you that this is going to be a different storyline for the Yankees this season in terms of how they're going to approach this year with Anthony Volpe moving forward. Like the Fabulous song said, I think the Yankees are making it crystal clear to Anthony Volpe, I've got options. I've got options. 888-808-1019. Are the Yankees soft launching the end of the Anthony Volpe era at shortstop by having Ryan McMahon play the position for at least some modicum of time during spring trading? 888-808-1019. I want to hear from you. I think this is an obvious shift from Yankees brass, who again has made it clear that Anthony Volpe has been their guy regardless of any struggles he's went through. Think about it this way. Again, like I said earlier, he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Derek Jeter, who is the captain, who is one of the all-time greats, and yada, yada, yada. Do you remember any point in the early part of Derek Jeter's career where they were needing to pull their starting third baseman to see if he could play shortstop in a random situation? I don't know. I was 7, 8, 9 years old. I don't remember Scott Brosius being told, hey, man, go over there and play some third base, just to see. You never know what may happen. You never know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But just go out there, play a little shortstop in spring training, and I just want to see what you got over there. Because you never know. You just never know. I just want to be prepared.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you remember any of that? And if you do, call in and let me know. I was a kid, but because I was a weirdo and a lunatic at 8 and 9 years old, I was listening to WFAN all day. And I don't remember Mike or Chris sitting here being like, the Yankees are going to play some Scott Brosius at shortstop in spring training, just to see if they got any other options in case, Derek Jeter's hurt or not performing. That never happened, at least not that I remember. not something that comes to memory when it came to the Yankee dynasty in their prime and Derek Jeter early in his career as he was becoming the starter he became. Didn't happen. There was no contingency plan for Derek Jeter not playing shortstop. He was the Yankees' plans A, B, C, D, E, all the way through Z. Because the Yankees knew what they had in the captain. They knew Derek Jeter was him. And I think there was a while where the Yankees, in terms of how they viewed Anthony Volpe, even though he had had not that much experience in the big league level, and we only saw really flashes of any kind of consistency, I think the Yankees came into the last season feeling like Anthony Volpe's future was going to be one that was going to be a special one. He was a guy that, while I'm not going to say that they thought he was Derek Jeter, I think they thought that that was a position they no longer had to worry about. I think now it's fair to say that that is not the case. 888-808-1019. So I want to hear from you. Do you think that this is potentially the beginning of the end of the Anthony Volpe era with the New York Yankees? And to be honest, I think the Yankees are making the right approach in putting all options on the table. Because we could sit here and say, well, EJ, he's still a young player, and well, you never know when it's going to turn around. I've said this all offseason, I'm going to say it again. Anthony Volpe's coming back from a serious injury, and I know Yankee fans well. I may not be one, but I know them pretty well. And they are not a patient group. And they identify whipping boys extremely fast. And they identify scapegoats extremely fast. And if this Yankee team gets off to a good start, especially, and then he comes in and he is the weak link as they still win games, or maybe they even take a step back as he tries to get himself back, if he becomes the guy that they look at and say, he's not pulling his weight, he's still not living up to his potential, there's not going to be, again, similar to the Yankee organization, there's not going to be a, well, let's just, you know, give him some time and he'll get right. The Yankee fans are going to be out for blood. They were booing this guy mercifully at Yankee Stadium last year. They don't care about no damn shoulder injury. They don't care about a torn labrum. They don't care that he's young. They don't care about that at this point. They're going to come after him hard. And one of the things that I'm hoping for Anthony Volpe is he's not carrying any of that pressure or anything that came from last season into this season. Because I think that's how you press, and that's how you make mistakes, and that's how you get off to slow starts. You know, I saw his comment a couple days ago when he said, you know, well, you know, I'm coming into this season. I have a huge, huge chip on my shoulder, but I always have a huge chip on my shoulder. Maybe it's the right thing to say. I'm sure it will maybe appease some Yankee fans to hear that he is coming into the season ready to go and wanting to prove people wrong. To be honest, I don't really need to hear that from him. I prefer that he comes in and treats this season like it's really any other season. We know there's a lot on the line. He knows there's a lot on the line. But I think if he's really be carrying over the negativity that came with so much of the commentary around Anthony Volpe last season into this year, I don't think that's going to do him well. You're coming off an injury. You're not going to come in and be totally 100% comfortable with where you were from last season. So don't worry about what happened last season. Worry about just being the best version of the player you can be right now for the Yankees. But there's not going to be a honeymoon period to start this season for Volpe whenever he comes back. He's talking about coming back in April. I know they said that he's kind of trying to get through the final, you know, things of his swing schedule so he can feel comfortable swinging the bat. Then it's going to be soft toss. And then eventually it's going to be about can he land on that shoulder. And I will say one thing about Anthony Volpe. And I'm not a doctor, but I did have this injury. I tore my labrum, dislocated my shoulder 3 times in my life. So this is one that I know pretty well. It is one of those injuries where he got surgery, so good for him. He should be a little more secured on that thing. But it is one of those things where sometimes, even if you get surgery, you fall down, you take a bad fall, you could pop that shoulder out at any point in time and still be out or have to play through some more pain. That could be a reality for the career that's going to be for Anthony Volpe moving forward. So that's when I hear him say, I want to make sure I'm back by April, I think he's feeling a little bit of the pressure of what the Yankees are putting together in terms of a depth chart. That now apparently includes his own third baseman. the guy that's playing to the right of him. I don't think he expected that. I think he understood that Caballero is going to be here and he's going to have every opportunity to play every day, potentially, to start the year if he plays well. I don't know if Volpe's going to completely just be handed the spot. And then he sees all the other guys the Yankees have still that, you know, they're not star players. They're not people that with the talent of Anthony Volpe. But sometimes you get to a point where it's just like, is it going to work out in New York? Is it going to work out in the pinstripes? And does it become more trouble than it's worth to try to sit through Anthony Volpe's struggles to get out on the other end? 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's get right to the phone lines here. We got someone already want to talk about Anthony Volpe. Let's go to Vito, who's in Staten Island, wants to talk about the Yankees. What's up, Vito?
Yeah, what's up? So listen, Anthony Volpe's not the chosen one, okay? Look, the kid can't hit, he can't field, all right? Like, he's trying to swing for the fence every single time when he should be trying to get contact, all right? He's an overhyped Brian Cashman prospect. They're pushing him because he's the homegrown Italian, all right? Like, if we're being honest, right, he has a better chance of being an extra in Bronx Tale 2 as the older brother, right, versus getting a 300 at bat. No, listen, man, like, the kid bats 210. I feel so bad for the kid. He breaks my heart, right? But, you know, my mother is literally crying every single day watching this kid strike out three times, playing every single day. He goes 1-for-4, like, at best some days.
Well, Vito, listen, I think the good news is that he's not going to have the opportunity to continue to go 0-for-4 with multiple strikeouts and keep his job.
Yeah, but then again, half the team goes 0-for-4. Half the team bats 220 with them.
Well, so Vito, I can't help you on the team. I gotta cut you off, Vito, because you're just talking. That comes with the rest of the squad in terms of how they approach. They don't all hit 220, by the way. That's obviously ridiculous. Aaron Judge, I don't know if you heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. You know, he's won MVPs. He had the American League home run record. I think he still has it, right? Like, he's pretty good. I don't think he is 220. he wrote back Cody Bellinger. He gave him a whole ton of money. He doesn't bat 220 either. I know that there is the adage of the Yankees. All they do is come in, they swing for the fences, and they strike out too much, and yada, yada, yada. I don't disagree necessarily that is an approach that they take, and they've been too much one-trick ponies. But what I think Anthony Volpe has shown, and I think if there's anything to take away from Vito's call, is I do feel like a lot of this has become a real referendum and an indictment on the Yankees' ability to develop position players at the major league level. Now, we'll see with Ben Rice. Ben Rice looks like a good one. So that's, and obviously Aaron Judge, but he feels like that's not really a fair one. He's towards the end of his prime. He's entering the twilight of his career, so I don't really want to include him. But you see in too many of these guys where it's like, where are the guys that can stick around and be long-term answers for this team that are homegrown guys? And you can't do the thing anymore where you say, oh, the Yankees, we keep giving up on these young guys. That's not what they've done. They gave all these guys ample opportunity to show that they could be long-time Yankees. And for one reason or another, they couldn't hack it. Or the Yankees felt like it was better that they moved on. It feels like Anthony Volpe could be very much in the next line of that. So you could say this could be a development issue. The one thing I will say is I think the Yankees were highly foolish with, I think, buying into so much of the fan hype. Because we got to be honest, and we got to keep it 100, which I'll get to in a second. It's always an unofficial, or sorry, not unofficial, actually, an official rule anytime I step to a mic. But we know that the fan base, Yankee fans, you calling on to this program, calling into the station, were salivating over the opportunity to get Anthony Volpe to the major leagues as early as possible and see this guy thrive as a local kid who grew up loving the Yankees, idolizing Derek Jeter, and having the opportunity to step into the position that he played and be the next Yankee star. You all wanted him to be in this spot. But the difference between us, me sitting in this chair, you listening to me on the fan, is we are not getting paid the millions of dollars that Brian Cashman is getting paid, or the millions slash hundreds of thousands of dollars that people on that front office staff are getting paid. They shouldn't have gotten so sucked into the hype when it came to pushing Anthony Volpe the way they did. Because I think his development was failed on many levels. And I've said this before as well. I feel like if Anthony Volpe played second base, his career would be entirely different. I think the way they viewed Anthony Volpe based on the hope that he could be the next apparent Derek Jeter cloud their judgment in terms of how quick they wanted to bring him up and not putting real competition next to him. I think it clouded their judgment in terms of sticking with him last year, even though he was clearly struggling. I think it's clouded so many different aspects of how they actually view him as a player and viewed him as a prospect. And these are the most foundational years of any young player's career. And you can't screw these years up. You can't. But you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be real with yourself. Say, should Anthony Volpe have been thrown right into the fire when he was? Was he actually ready? You know the answer is no. We watched him play for 3 years. The answer was clearly no. So my thing is, if he was a second baseman, maybe he's not brought up as fast. Maybe he's traded for a star pitcher or a star position player. I don't know what his future is. I don't think that this is the road we have, though, where you have a shortstop slash this one. Let's say he was a second baseman. A second baseman that could struggle for 3 years, play every day with impunity, and now come into his fourth year where he's coming off of surgery, and they're so concerned about whether or not he is the answer long term that they're trying to see if the third baseman could be a backup option at shortstop. That's the level of desperation the Yankees are at in terms of, I think they look at this and say, we have no idea if we can trot this guy out every day. And you have to say that's an indictment on Brian Cashman and the Yankee brass. That we're at this point when it comes to Anthony Volpe, his development, and where he's at in his career. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So I want to hear more from you when it comes to the Yankee infield situation. Are you concerned that the Yankees could be willing to move on from Anthony Volpe quite soon when you hear that Ryan McMahon is going to be playing some shortstop in spring training? I want to hear from you. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And, of course, like I just said, is EJ on the fan, which means there are two very important rules to know whenever I step to a mic. They're the same rules every time, but I start every show explaining them to anybody who may have never listened to me before. But know that when you get your boy rocking the mic, two things. Number one, I'm always going to keep it 100. Number two, I'm ducking no smoke. So if you want to get in on the call on the phone lines, get in right now. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. But of course, it is the good Lord's year of 2026, which means there are multiple ways to contribute to this show. It is past midnight, and it is a weeknight. So I know for various reasons, you might not be able to get on the phone at this point in time and wait for me to click the button to get you up and yell at me about why I'm an idiot and what I'm talking about with Anthony Volpe's all off. Or that I'm a genius and I'm the smartest guy you've ever heard and I don't know why you don't get more shots on the fan. It's going to go both ways. That's what happens every time I step to a mic. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's how it works. But I know you might not be able to deliver the good or bad and the ugly on the phone because of the time slot I'm in right now. And that's fine. That's fine. That's okay. There are multiple ways to contribute to the show. You can hit me up on social media. EJ_Stewart is where you can find me on X. Tweet at me your thoughts on the Yankees. Tweet at me your thoughts on New York sports. I will read tweets on the air as long as they are not from Kevin Durant's burner account or some other explicit type content. I will read the content on the air and we'll have a conversation and we can talk that way as well. Hit me up on social media, EJ_Stewart. Also hit me up on Instagram and TikTok. Action EJ. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're going to talk more Anthony Volpe also later in the show. Aaron Judge, he is the captain that Yankee fans deserve, and he showed why this week. It is EJ Stewart on the fan. Again, number to call in, 888-808-1019. The name is EJ Stewart. Remember it.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.